All right, I want to talk to you on a subject today. I'm going to give you a few words because we're going to build off this title. I want to talk to you about these words, in the image of God. And so our subject title for today is in the image of God. I want to read to you. I'm going to begin in Genesis chapter 1. And those of you that can't, you don't have a Bible, hopefully there's one near you, in front of you, below the seat. We're going to be reading from Genesis chapter 1, beginning in verse 26 to 28. And then if you would take time to turn over to Ephesians chapter 4, 17 to 24. Again, Ephesians 4, 17 to 24. These will be some of our main texts that we'll be speaking from today as we consider the subject in the image of God. Let us read from Genesis 1, beginning in verse 26. And God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness. And let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. Verse 28. And God blessed them, and God said unto them, be fruitful, and multiply, and replenish the earth, and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth. We'll stop right there. And if you have your finger over in Ephesians chapter 4, I'd like to read several verses there. Ephesians 4, we'll begin reading in verse 17. The Bible tells us, this I say therefore, this is the Apostle Paul, by the way, who penned this letter, and testify in the Lord that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk, in the vanity, or you could say the futility of their mind, an empty mind, having the understanding darkened, being alienated or estranged from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feeling have given themselves over unto lasciviousness to work all uncleanness with greediness. But you have not so learned Christ or of Christ, if so be that ye have heard him and have been taught by him as the truth is in Jesus, that you put off concerning the former conversation the old life, the old man which is corrupt according to the deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, verse 24, and that you put on the new man which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. We'll stop right there. In the image of God. Let me give you some opening remarks here, if I may, please. On the sixth day of creation, God had constructed his supreme work of works, mankind. Being the supreme creation, on the sixth day man was created. After all the other things were created, man was created on that sixth day. A creation, by the way, designed by God to resemble himself. Called of God to subdue the earth, rule over God's other creatures, and be fruitful, mankind was destined for perpetual blessedness, were they not? They were destined and designed for perpetual blessedness in the eyes of God, having been made similarly to his likeness. Perfectness, no, but bearing that ultimate divine resemblance. For what, by the way, could be greater than having become a copy of God? By the way, one of the greatest remarks that needs to be immediately sent back to God is that you and I remind somebody of Jesus Christ. Because what could be greater than having become a copy of God, which God created mankind to be? This state of mankind, designed by God, became a universal grief, disaster, and decay through the great lie. This, what was intended to be a universal blessing to all of humanity, bearing the semblance of Almighty God, ended up becoming a grief to Almighty God, a true earthly disaster, and a decaying of the individual Adam and Eve, and so on, through the great lie. By the way, what is the great lie? If you just look at Genesis chapter 3, verse 5, I believe you can see it very clearly. The serpent was more subtle or deceptive than any beast of the field that God created. Satan, appearing in this serpent form, whatever it was all like, says, "For God does know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil." Simply telling Eve, as he had that communication with her, "Listen, Eve, if you'll but partake of this, you'll be as gods, knowing good and evil." I don't know if this is hitting your heart right away, but it hit mine this morning in a way it never has. And that is, here, the devil was lying as though you're going to be as gods, knowing good and evil, when they already were bearing the resemblance of God. Mankind was already created in the very likeness of God. And here Satan comes along as a serpent saying, "You shall be as gods, knowing good and evil." What a great lie. To work in her a desire for something that they already were resembling. And that is a likeness of God. By the way, isn't it true that the very thing that mars and darkens the image of God is when we're desiring something more than what God intended for us to desire? And I'm here to say that the chief aim of humanity should be God. The chief pursuit of the Christian should be Jesus Christ and Him crucified, risen, and seated at the right hand of God. And in the pursuit of what God calls good is where we bear the semblance of Almighty God. The image of God, of course, designed by God for mankind at creation, lost by sin, which is disobedience, I have three words for you. Can be restored. Can be restored. I don't know, and I hope I can do my best by the Spirit of God, because if the Spirit of God doesn't do it through me, you're not going to get it. But I hope you can take the burden that's in my heart and place it in your heart. I'm telling you what, that chief creation of humanity to bear the semblance of Almighty God, what a privilege, what an opportunity, and sin has so darkened the door of entrance into the reality of what God intended for humanity, and that is that we would take on His glory and majesty and share it all around the world. And here sin has darkened the door of this reality. But I want you and I to know something this morning. It can be restored. We're living in a day and age where we're seeing the serpent, not a serpent walking around, but I'm talking about Satan, through his deception and craftiness, having so darkened through fallen humanity the realization of the likeness and image of God. All you got to do is turn on the news for a moment or flip the radio on or walk the streets just for a time, maybe even in some of the bigger cities, and you see the decay. You see the depravity. You see the maliciousness. You see the evil. You see the hatred. You see the bitterness of this stuff just spewing out of humanity today. I'm here to say that has nothing to do with the likeness of God. As Christians, we need to represent the opposite of what I just said, and that is the opposite, which is the real truth of who God is and who we need to be. I'd like us to examine on four fronts today this truth. I'm going to look at this image of God on four fronts today, and as we continue on in those, let's take a look at number one first. I'd like to first look at what was evident about God's person or nature in humanity itself. If you would consider the verse 27 of Genesis 1 again, consider these words, let them soak in our heart. So God created, He fashioned, He formed man in His own image. In the image of God created He him. Male and female created He them. A perfect creation. Well, let us consider what was evident back then of God's person, nature, His personality in humanity. Number one, His bodily semblance. Adam, Eve bore the bodily semblance of God's glory and majesty. Have you ever considered creation itself? You look at cattle. You look at the different insects and they crawl on their legs and oftentimes they bore downward. But it's interesting how God created humanity in a body where we're erect and vertical, perhaps an indication of mankind looking upwards to the glory of God, a semblance or a likeness in this body of being upright and vertical, that we're not base and low, but we're a representation in this body of the glory and majesty of God. Listen, you and I have been created, spirit, soul, and body, in the likeness of God. And even in the creation of the body being vertical and upright, I think we can maybe get a little hint of the majesty and glory of God, because God is not base and low. He is what? High. Very interesting how humanity was created erect. Perhaps a picture of us going upwards to the glory of God. And God, we saw back then in the creation of man, bore in their body a semblance or likeness of God's glory and majesty. Secondly, we see what was evident of God's person in mankind back then was His ability to righteously govern or rule. God gave mankind ability to rule and govern the earth and the beasts and all creation, but it was going to be righteous governing. We're seeing a lot of unrighteous governing and legislation today. But I'm telling you, back before the fall, God intended for mankind to righteously rule, subdue the earth, and watch over the creatures. Thirdly, as we consider here the image of God and how God's person was in mankind back then, we also see God's reality in mankind and His ability to procreate another resembling God. Very interesting. God told Adam, "You need to go." Told Adam, you know, multiply, replenish the earth. I believe it was the very will and intent of the heart of God for Adam and Eve to procreate young ones and little ones, that as they took on the semblance of God, so in turn would be a resemblance and a likeness of Almighty God. But we know that was all vanished by sin. But there was ability, at least an intent there, to procreate another resembling God, their offspring. Fourthly, we see mankind bearing God's semblance in His inward thoughts, desires, and attitudes, demonstrating the attributes of God. Humanity was created with pure thoughts, pure desires, and pure inner attitudes that were to demonstrate the attributes of God. Simply put, those things are attributed to God. Because here, I'm here to tell you, I want to burst your bubble today, if I may. If you think you have anything good in and of yourself, you have nothing good in and of yourself. If I think I have any good in me in and of myself, I need to bust my bubble and say, you know what, I don't. Any goodness, any righteousness, any holiness, any kindness, any will of God I have is from my Creator through the Lord Jesus Christ. My good works are as filthy rags. But you and I, back then in Adam and Eve, in their bowels, God had put His likeness in them and their inward thoughts, desires, and attitudes being pure, untainted by sin. Fifthly, what was back then and intended for mankind to bear the semblance of God was seen in their perfect worship of their Creator. Can you imagine perfect? Perfect meaning complete and perfect. Not only was it complete worship, it was perfect worship. You know, when we have a lot of imperfect worship today, I think some of you know me, I've said this, and I'm a big believer in this. I'm not one that likes to go and talk bad about other churches and things, but I want to bring a point, because we need to understand there's a lot of imperfect worship happening today. And what I mean by imperfect worship, it's a lot of show. It's a lot of glamour. It's a lot of noise. But what's missing is that inward driving of the Holy Spirit to worship in spirit and in truth. Worshiping from the heart. Worshiping by my will being united with the will of God. We have a lot of so-called worship going on today that's truly not aligned with the will of God, but it's being demonstrated in the will of man. But back then, His perfect worship of His Creator was a demonstration of being made in the likeness of God. These intents, by the way, for mankind from God, listen to this, this is something to chew on. These intents for humanity, these semblances of God, that is, from God, were exchanged for a lie. They were exchanged back then for a lie. Remember that lie? For God does know that in the day you eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and you shall be as God, knowing good and evil. Isn't it enough for the servant to be as his master and the servant as his Lord? I believe the quicker that we as Christians become content with being like the master and not trying to go above the master and do beyond what he's asking, but be content to be in his image and in his likeness, there and there only is a place of security and escape from the lies of Satan. Because it is disobedience, by the way. It is disobedience to the Word of God that did back then and does darken the image of God in humanity. Simply put, they had one command that we know of, and that was that they would not take of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Because God knew when they take of that tree, they're going to have not only the knowledge of what is right, but they're going to have the knowledge of what is wrong. And in other words, they're going to have an experience with evil, an understanding of what is wrong, and therein they will suffer and die and did. I'd like to secondly take a moment here, but before I get there, I want to just again emphasize this point. Because the Bible is true to its word, and the Word of God will never fail. I believe in the Word of God with all my heart. I was talking with a lady, by the way, who's just left the Catholic Church, and I'm not going to say where she's at, just for secrecy information, here locally. But there's an individual that left the Catholic Church because she doesn't believe in it. She's looking for another church, and I had this communication with her. But the reason I think she left the church is because of its stance. You know, she says she came up to me and she shared how she believes in gay marriage. And so therein, I believe she's finding her disagreement with the Catholic Church. So she left, and I said, well, listen, do you believe that the Word of God is the Word of God? Do you believe that the Word of God is God breathed? So she sat there a moment and said, yeah, yes, I do. I went on to share with her that your personal idea is in conflict with the incorruptible Word of God. And she seemed to get it. You know, I want to say something here. Oftentimes our preferences, our opinions that are nothing but opinions, clash with the Word of God. I'm here to say that if we believe the Word of God is the Word of God with all of our heart, we need to submit to the Word, because when we submit to the Word is when we find the blessing of God. Amen? And the blessing of God brings life, it brings health, it brings peace, it brings righteousness. And all back then, God, He created them in His own image, given them a beautiful garden, given it all to them. And said, listen, I just have one tree not to take care of, to not for you to eat of, because it's for your good. Don't dabble with the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Don't many of us, even so-called Christians today, we just like to dabble with a little sin. We like to just dabble just with a little bit of sin and a little bit of disobedience. Well, I'm here to say a little bit of sin and a little bit of disobedience will lead to a bunch of sin. And a lot of disobedience. The Bible says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Secondly, I'd like to consider how the image of God can again be restored in humanity. Because I want you to know this. And if Satan has lied to you or somebody has deceived you, I want to tell you the truth. Because I believe with all my heart the truth is what sets a man free. I have a passion for truth. I'm sorry. But there is this inner drive in me for truth and righteousness. And I'm willing to preach it and live it, whatever it may cost. I made that decision long ago. And I know we have others here with the same heart. But how can this image of God be restored in man, the very semblance, the very likeness of God? Here's your answer and my answer. Only through eternal intervention. The only way that the likeness of God can be restored in humanity is through eternal intervention. Consider Hebrews, by the way. We just got done studying that book, a wonderful study. The Bible says there, God was sundry times and in divers manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by His Son, by whom He hath appointed, you know, He created the world and all that. And then it goes on to say, and I'm just going to turn there because my mind is escaping me a little bit on those words. Hath in these last days spoken unto us by His Son, whom He hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also He made the world. Listen to this. Who being the brightness of His glory, and these are the next words I want to focus on, and the express image This person, we're going to stop right there. Do you know what that word or words expressed image mean? They mean the exact copy. That expressed image is an exact copy of God Almighty. Well, listen, God intervened on the behalf of humanity by sending an exact copy of Himself in Jesus Christ, who came to this earth and lived out the will of God perfectly with a sinless life. You know, John 3:16, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. God sent His exact copy, His only begotten Son of God, not created, only begotten from eternity, who willingly suffered and died for you and I. Why? That the image of God could be restored to mankind once again, to all who come to the place of recognition that I have sinned against a holy God. I have taken of that knowledge of good and evil tree, but I see there's a Savior that died for me, the Lord Jesus Christ, and I believe in Him, and I want Him. And through accepting God's divine intervention in Jesus Christ, I can again be restored to what God intended for mankind all along, and that was the bearer, the lifeless of God. Only through divine intervention. Thirdly, I'd like to take a little bit of time and I wanted to consider what it looks like to bear the likeness of God. This is where we start fleshing it out. This is where Christians, we call the rubber meeting the road. But I believe before we get into what it looks like, we follow the proper order, because we understand that without divine intervention, we'll never be able to walk out the likeness of God. Remember, our good works are as filthy rags. Consider mechanic work, or me as a painter. I get pretty dirty when I work. Really, really dirty. Sometimes I'll say, I want to shake your hand. My hands are really dirty. Well, you know what? That's how our sins are. They're really, really dirty. But yet God wants to take them away by the blood of Jesus Christ and plant in us His divine nature. Praise God. But I'd like to take a moment. I want us to consider what it looks like as a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ to bear the resemblance of God. I'm going to go back to our text in Ephesians chapter 4. And I'm not necessarily going to take a lot of time. I'm going to kind of somewhat quickly go down through this, starting in verse 24. Let us consider briefly what it looks like to take on the likeness of God as believers in this body. Ephesians 4:24 says, and that you put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. We could say genuine holiness. Wherefore, putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor. For we are members one of another. You know, as members one of another in the body of Christ as Christians, there's something that should never proceed off of our lips, and that's a lie. Have you ever heard of somebody say, oh, a little white lie's okay? You know, have you ever been put in the corner a little bit where you really, your heart was pure and you didn't want to lie, but because of the pride of man that sometimes comes over, you kind of tainted his story a little bit because you didn't want to be seen up as wrong? That's a lie. The Bible calls us to not lie within the body of Christ. Now remember, we're considering what it looks like to bear the resemblance of God. We're called to not lie with our lips. It goes on to say, be ye angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath. You know what? It's okay to get angry against sin. It's okay, Jesus did. But it's not okay to get angry against sin and then start acting like an unbeliever. Be ye angry and sin not. The Bible says, let not the sun go down upon your wrath. And in other words, don't let your anger boil. Don't let your bitterness steep. Don't let your resentment stew. Because when you let these things stew and boil and cook, you're giving an opportunity for the devil to build walls and mountains in your heart towards people, things, events, whatever they may be. And a lot of us sometimes, rather than taking our bitterness to the Lord and saying, God, I'm the one that's wrong, forgive me. And rather than going to that person and seeking forgiveness and reconciliation, we stew on our hurts. We stew on our dislikes. And I'm telling you what, I know with all my heart this is true. They build walls. They build mountains between people, things, events, and the such like. Remember, we're talking about what it looks like to bear the resemblance of God. The Bible says, let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands the thing which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth. We're called not to steal. Steal anything. Physically, spiritually, in any way. Steal a reputation. Steal an object. Whatever it may be. The Bible goes on to say, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. The Bible is calling us, if we're going to bear the semblance of God, to let nothing corrupt come out of this mouth, but only that which is good is going to minister grace and life to another. All this little tongue, believe it or not, as James 3 says, controls the whole body. One that can control their tongue has a good hold of Christianity, and certainly is bearing the semblance of God. The Bible says, and grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby we are sealed into the day of redemption. How do we grieve? How do we extinguish is what that word grieve means. Now when I talk about extinguish, I'm not talking about the Holy Spirit disappearing out of my life forever. But when you grieve something, you extinguish. You put out their effects. How do we put out, if I may say, the effects of the Holy Spirit in our life? Through disobedience. Through sin. Through taking of the knowledge of the tree of good and evil. Taking of the forbidden fruit. The Bible says, let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor. That word clamor means outcrying. Have you ever went into a room and it's like, bam, the shouting is high here. Woo, the temperature's high. Well, that's what that clamor means. It's talking about outcry, shrieks. And evil speaking be put away with you with all malice. Malice simply is badness, depravity. But then the Bible I want to look at, and I want you to also turn, if you would, briefly to Colossians chapter 3. But I want you to consider, as you turn over to Colossians chapter 3 and turn your eyes to verse 12 in a moment, consider the other half of what it means as a Christian to bear out the likeness of God in verse 32. And be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake has forgiven you. Consider Colossians 3, beginning in verse 12, as we consider what it means as a Christian to bear the semblance of Almighty God and planted in us. Colossians 3:12 says, put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies. Or I could say those mercies that come from a heart, those compassions that are inside, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another. I'll say putting up with one another, but I'm here to say putting up with one another by the Spirit of God. And forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. And above all these things, put on charity, love, which is the bond of perfectness. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also you are called in one body, and be ye thankful. Look at this. Putting on mercies from the heart, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another, forgiving one another. Listen, is there anybody that you're holding a grudge against? Are you holding somebody at arm's length because you don't like what they did or who they are or what they represent? The Bible calls us to forgive. The Bible calls us to put on love. You know, some of us have different talents. But I'll tell you what, I'd rather exchange every talent, and that includes preaching and teaching. I'm serious. I'd rather exchange it all for the love of God. Because I can sit here and preach to you and teach to you and tell you this and do all this stuff and be a hateful person and be nothing but a clanging cymbal. I'm here to say to have the love of God in the heart is so far superior than being very talented. Lastly, I want to give you a key component, if I could, please, that God has given to us to abide in His likeness. Listen, I didn't even elaborate. You know, these scriptures that I read in Ephesians and in Colossians, I believe they're pretty self-explanatory, aren't they? Wasn't it a stark contrast between bitterness and wrath and outcries and rage and anger over against meekness, humbleness of mind, peace, love, forgiveness. What a stark contrast, because the one is dark, that's without Christ. The other is bearing the semblance of God Almighty in Jesus Christ. But I want us to consider a key component, please, here, as we are going to finish up here, as to what will allow us to continue to abide, which means to remain, bearing forth His light. And again, what I love about the Scriptures is the Scriptures are truth. And you know they tell us the truth, that they help us to successful living. That's why I am a gigantic proponent of knowing your Bible. Because the Bible will set you free. I have experienced it for so long. When you take something for so long, you become very persuaded. Consider our text, if you would, please, Ephesians chapter 4. Considering the key component to remaining in His likeness. And in other words, to where it is not being extinguished and unseen before each other in a lost and dying world. Ephesians 4:20. Well, let me start reading in verse 17, if I could. 4:17. This I say, therefore, testify the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their mind, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feeling have given themselves over in the lasciviousness to work all other things with greediness. I know I've read this before, but I want to read it again because I want you to see a difference. But you have not so learned of Christ or from Christ. You've not learned to live that way from Jesus Christ. If so be that ye have heard Him and have been taught by Him as the truth is in Jesus. That you put off concerning the former conversation the old man which is corrupt according to deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. And that you put on the new man which after God has created in righteousness. And through the Holy Spirit, the key component from going from darkness to light, from remaining in His presence and continuing to bear actively His semblance, is first-hand knowledge of the living God. It's by having a personal, vibrant, experiential knowledge, heart relationship with God through Jesus Christ. Time is failing me, but I can go to Colossians and I'll say the same thing because Paul wrote both Ephesians and Colossians when he was in prison, and that's why you see the overlap of truths. They were written in his prison and imprisonment. Consider Colossians again when he says in verse 9, lie not one to another, seeing that ye have put off the old man with his deeds. Here we go. And have put on the new man. Here it is. Which is renewed or revived in knowledge. After the image of Him that created Him. That knowledge is experiential knowledge, first-hand knowledge. For example, like Luke. Luke was sharing when he wrote his letter how that he had confidence to share with Theophilus because he had a perfect understanding of all things from the very first. And in other words, he had that perfect knowledge, that awareness. Listen, it's simply like this as we conclude. Mary was really busy about good things, you know, in Luke 10:38-42. Martha, excuse me. Martha was pretty busy about a lot of good stuff. But Mary chose to sit at Jesus' feet and hear His word, and she was commended by the Lord from it. I'm here to tell you that if you and I are going as Christians to continue to bear the semblance of Almighty God, it's through not neglecting the privacy of experiential knowledge with the Lord Jesus Christ. Listen, I don't share this as a thing to try to get to the Lord, but I share with us as Christians because we've experienced and tasted the Lord, right? We've experienced the Lord. He's our Lord and Savior. If He's our Lord and Savior, He's giving key components to continue to reflect His likeness. And I'm here to say, the key component is sitting at the feet of Jesus Christ and hearing His word. Having that experiential relationship with Him through prayer, through the Word, through gathering together as we are, singing the holy songs of God. And when we use His avenues, we succeed. I'm here to tell you, I know it with all of my heart. We neglect this Bible, we neglect the prayer. I'm going to tell you what, you will have a weak Christian life. You will be weak as a Christian, and you will be very susceptible to fall to the lies and deception of Satan. Guaranteed. I don't say that a lot from the pulpit, but I guarantee it. You and I neglect the Word of God in prayer, and you will fall prey to Satan in some way. Because he's a chief liar and has had a lot of time to practice. Your and I escape is in Jesus Christ alone. It's His divine intervention. It's in our precious Lord and Savior. Listen, I wanted to share this. I believe the Lord laid it on my heart because we're living in a day and an age where we're seeing the semblance of Satan so much. And Satan loves it. See, he's always been itching about glory. I'm here to tell you seriously, Satan is glory. He's so happy because he's like, ooh, I'm getting to be seen. My nature, my hatred, my bitterness, my wrath, my anger, my clamor. You know, he's always wanted to be seen. Remember, he wanted to go above the heavens and be like God. And he's had this itch to be numero uno. And you know, his reflection is all around us. I'm here to say to Reunion Church and everyone here, let's do something different. Let's just say that we don't have to be just any other fish flowing down the river, but we're going to be Christians that are bearing the likeness of God and showing His lies as they are lies. I know that we can be overcomers. You know why I know? Because the book of Revelation is a book of overcoming. I talked through that book, and the book of Revelation has a theme, and it's about overcoming, overcoming, overcoming. Listen, we can overcome Satan and his lies and bearing his likeness by the blood of Jesus Christ and by the word of our testimony that Christ is the Son of God. He is the Savior of the world. He is the I Am. He is the door. He is the avenue. He is the King of Kings. He is the Lion of the tribe of Judah. He is the one that died, was buried, and raised again. And He is forever reigning and ruling. If that's not a message of hope, I don't know what is. But I want us to understand, you and I have the choice as believers. Are we going to bear the likeness of Satan? Or are we going to bear the likeness of God? I'm here to tell you, believe it or not, Satan gets his resemblance in Christians at times. It happens far too often. I'd like us to have a word of prayer. Father, we just thank you and praise you for the privilege of gathering together in the name and the person of our precious, as Peter used that word, precious Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. He is precious. Lord, I love the Lord. I thank you for the blood of Jesus Christ, our only atonement for sin. Lord, I pray that you would take this message, and God, only as you divinely can do it, Lord, because I don't have that ability, that you would implant it in our heart, that you would water it by your Spirit, that you would dump about it, that you would nurture it, and I pray for much fruit. Lord, I just pray that much fruit would be. I thank you for everyone here, God. We love them, and I'm just asking God that you would protect us as we go out this week. Keep us from the lies of Satan. Keep us from his ways. And help us, Lord, not to just go about our duties forgetting one another, but help us to pray for one another. Help us to take time to reach out to one another. Help us to really one another this week. Father, we bless you as we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.